Gonna get back to Steelers, Colts in a little bit here. We also have Bob Walk's final appearance at the top of the hour. Want to ask him a Paul Skeens question or two. But in the meantime, we have a legend on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline, and that is the great B.B. Flannery. A long time ago, B.B. made Sports Illustrated's Faces in the Crowd for scoring 81 points in a junior high school game. Did you ever do that, Limits? What was your number one accomplishment as a junior high schooler?
No, my top score was like 9.
Yeah, 9. So. B.B. went on to become a great player. We know that at Valley and then at Duquesne, where he was one of the top scorers in Duquesne basketball history. And he joins us today with an anniversary coming up, the 50th anniversary of the Champions Association, which has had people, and this is in relation to helping Toys for Tots, has had luminaries, late great luminaries such as Franco Harris and Willie Stargell working with them over the years. B.B., welcome. How are you, sir?
I'm great, Joe. I appreciate you having me on.
Man, my pleasure. Before we get to all that, what would you have scored with a three-pointer? You had 81 in a junior high game. They probably had 5 guys on you. Do you get it? Do you go full Wilt Chamberlain if there's a three-point line?
Some people say in that game I probably would have scored 100. I was known for shooting, so I shot three-pointer was relatively easy to players like myself and a lot of shooters back in the day. So it would be interesting.
What was your What was your high game at Valley and Duquesne?
My highest game at Valley was 53, and at Duquesne I had 49. In the quick story, I had 49 with 5 minutes to go in the game, and they asked me if I wanted to stay in the game and break the record at 50. And I was like, no, take me out. Players who practice every day deserve a chance to play. So
that's cool.
They took me out. So I never did get to 50.
That is really cool. I wonder, too, with Pistol Pete all those years ago, B.B., the three-point line. I mean, you said you scored whatever it was, 53 or in a high school game. What would that have? How do we translate? It probably would have been 65 anyway with a three-point line. And then Pistol Pete averaged over 40 a game without the three-point line. I think he would have averaged over 50, right?
Yeah, they averaged 44 for a career, which is amazing. If you have a bad night and get 35, the next night you got to get 55. So he was amazing, and he was an amazing shooter as well.
Did you play against him anywhere, anytime?
I played against him. I was lucky enough for him to be my teammate. I went to the Boston Celtics out of college, last person cut in 1980, but made it through rookie camp. 60 rookies went to camp, and 5 went to vet camp. I made it to vet camp. Pistol Pete Maravich happened to be my roommate, so we did get a chance to play together and room together. So that's wow. One of my all-time favorite stories.
Yeah, he always seemed like a fascinating figure, like a very in some ways a complicated guy who had been through a lot. Did you guys have a relationship where he could open up to you at all, or didn't you get to know him that well?
You know, it was funny because the great Bob Ryan from the Boston Globe wrote a story about me that it would be hard for me to make the Celtics team, but I had a truly amazing camp, and it was in the paper, and Pistol Pete brought it to me and said, call me hometown. He said, hometown, there's an article on you in the paper, and because he was from Pittsburgh, as you know.
Yeah.
And most people don't know Pistol Pete was born in Aliquippa. So, I mean, he was personable, and to me, I thought he was a great guy, a caring guy, and one of the most brilliant basketball minds I've ever seen.
B.B. Flannery on the Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. My God, I'm looking at the 80 Celtics, and I'm trying to put my – I think we talked about this when you were out at Valley High School, myself and Ron Cook, but refresh yes. my memory. The practice, the practices in camp must have been crazy. You, Pistol Pete, Tiny Archibald, Larry Bird, Cedric Maxwell, Kevin McHale, Robert Parrish. It must have been insanity in that place.
ML Carr, Chris Ford. It was something. The practices were as good as the playoff games. I'm telling you, rookies trying to make the team and just. I'll tell you another really quick story. When we went to camp, camp was in Worcester, Mass, and it was a basketball court, if you can imagine, out in the woods. We stayed in cabins, and we had outhouses and all that type of stuff. And that was a pro camp. And Robert Parrish, he called me little man. He said, little man, I ain't never seen nothing like this, because he had just gotten traded from Golden State to the Celtics.
Yeah.
And they stayed in the Hilton Hotel, and here he was staying in a cabin. But that's
unbelievable.
That's probably why the team was so great. I mean, they took basketball and working out and practice very serious. So,
man, to be a fly on the wall back then, that's incredible. Well, the 50th anniversary celebration of the Champions Association is coming up. BB, what can you tell us about that?
Yeah, it was Champions, and then a 501c3 full volunteer nonprofit. Turned into Achieving Greatness. And it was founded in 1974 by the legendary Bill Neal. Champions Achieving Greatness puts on, as you mentioned earlier, they have the Connie Hawkins Pro-Am Summer League, the Franco Harris Football Camp, the Willie Stargell MVP Awards, where they honor some of the greatest people in Pittsburgh doing great community service work. They have the Dwayne Woodruff Celebrity Golf event. They have the City League All-Star Sports Hall of Fame. And the staple was the Connie Hawkins Summer League. That's the staple event, and a lot of players will be coming in for the event from the Connie Hawkins Summer League.
And what's the date of the event again?
The date is October 5th at the Pittsburgh Marriott Hotel City Center downtown. Mm. Our special guest includes the great Norm Nixon, my teammate at Duquesne, as a matter of fact, two-time NBA world champion, married to actress Debbie Allen, Lamon Rucker from the Hill District. He's an author and has been in several Tyler Perry movies. And lastly, Senator Jay Costa will be some of the speakers at the event.
Man, Norm Nixon was one of my favorites, too. I bet you obviously followed his career very closely, teaming up with Magic to win a title. That's just big-time, all-time stuff, right?
Oh, yeah. Actually, Norman, they won two before Norman got traded for Byron Scott. But, yeah, they won two world championships. And Norman and I have remained close, very close friends. And I'll be picking him up Friday morning, as a matter of fact, from the airport coming into the event. So it should be a great evening. If I might add, I just want to talk real briefly about the Connie Hawkins Summer League. Can I do that, Joe?
Yes, that's another legendary thing, of course.
Yes, legendary in Pittsburgh. And sometimes you take things for granted. When that league was here, it was one of the top three leagues in the country, along with the Baker League in Philly, the Rucker League in New York, and then they had the California Summer League. Mm. But the Connie Hawkins League was as good as it gets. Some of the players, I mean, if you were a player, every player that came through Pittsburgh had to go to the Connie Hawkins Summer League to gain their bones. From Sam Clancy, the great Sam Clancy, Larry Harris, Billy Knight, Bruce Atkins, Kirk Bruce, the list goes, Jose Champagne, the list goes on and on. Everybody who played basketball came through the Connie Hawkins Summer League. And as a kid, if you wanted to be great, you didn't have to turn on an NBA game. You could go to the Connie Hawkins Summer League and see some of the greatest players in the world right there in your own backyard. And it was just a tremendous, tremendous summer league.
Man, this conversation's come full circle because when people, we've had the topic here from time to time, a game or an athlete that you never got to see that you'd want to. And two basketball players for me, although I'll add you as a third, would be Pistol Pete at LSU and then Connie Hawkins any damn where. I would love to have seen him play. All you need to know is that Dr. J idolized him. He was Dr. J before Dr. J, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And if I could add to that, Dr. J loved him so much. Bill Neal has had him over the years. Dr. J has come in for various events. Charles Barkley has come in, but Jane Kennedy has come in. So, but anyway, yeah, Dr. J. There was no high flyers before, like Connie. Dr. J kind of emulated Connie Hawkins. He was a basketball icon and legend. His best years actually got stripped away from him because they accused him of point shaving, which he didn't do. And then he ended up winning $1 million and left the Pittsburgh Pipers and went on to the Phoenix Suns.
Yes, that was... that was something when they won that title. We appreciate the time, BB, and good luck with this event, the Champions Association, and I know that also benefits Toys for Tots, and you couldn't have a better cause than that. We appreciate it, man.
Appreciate you having me, and you take care. Be safe.
All right. That's the great BB Flannery. Limits, are you a basketball fan as well?
Yeah, big time.
I mean, that's just incredible stuff.
Yeah, some pretty cool stories, especially the Duquesne game, the 49 points. He did not break the record.
And came out of the game willingly for his teammates.
That's really unselfish there.
We have people around sports who are looking, you know, to stay in games and you know, get statistical milestones. He wanted the guys who practiced every day with him to get in the game. That is awesome. Plus 81 in a high school game. That's not bad. Right?
I've never heard of anybody scoring 81 in a high school game.
And then,
at least over the last however many years.
And then imagine the legendary Celtics when they were first really getting started in 1980, staying in cabins and having 10 out of 10 intensity practices. Because back then, like the Steelers back then, a little bit before that, they would play a college all-star team in years when they won the Super Bowl.
I wish they still did that. Wouldn't that have been so cool?
And actually played. Like, people played. And then you go and you imagine the Celtics, Larry Bird, Pistol Pete was toward the end of his career, B.B. Flannery, Tiny Archibald, for God's sakes, Kevin McHale, staying in cabins out in the woods and then going and having... Can you imagine if there was a camera? Somebody somewhere must have a video of some of those practices. Somebody.
Yeah, they're making s'mores at night, telling stories around the campfire.
Right.
Somebody has to have some footage, yeah. I'm sure somebody in Boston
roasting
does.
Marshmallows. Incredible stuff. All right, let's get back to the Steelers. Man, I could talk and think about that stuff all day. Steelers go 4-0 here. There was a guy, I think his name is Paul Denher, who writes for The Athletic, covers the Bengals, who pointed out that when teams from the AFC North start 4-0, simply put, they go on to win the division. I think there have been four of them. It's just as simple as that. 3-0, a little different story. I think he said about half the time you win the division. And I look at this the other way, too, and I'm keeping my eye on the Bengals. 0-3 is one thing. And I know it's only one more game, but 0-4 feels insurmountable, doesn't it?
I mean, some people think 0-3 is insurmountable for them.
Well, yeah, when you look at the fact that six teams in 50 years or 58 years, whatever it is, six teams that have started 0-3 have made the playoffs.
Well, they are playing a last place schedule, too.
They
were. That's got a factor in.
Are they still? I don't know.
Yeah, because New England was one of those last place teams.
Well, how's that helping them? They just played two teams that might finish in last place at home and lost to both of
them.
Yeah,
I know that, but you have to think that the tide's eventually going to turn, right? Just
do you?
Historically, and
do
the
you?
Players that they
no,
have,
not
right?
Necessarily. Like, who they have on defense? Who's their best defender?
Trey Hendrickson.
Maybe. He's unhappy, too. He's unhappy, too.
Mike Hilton? Come on down.
Yeah, I wish the Steelers had kept him. Don't get me wrong.
They still have.
He's still a game changer.
They still have the Giants, the Raiders.
Loss.
Tennessee, the Broncos.
Loss.
Dallas at home. Loss. Dallas on the road.
They might finish 0-17.
Philadelphia, Carolina.
They'll bounce back
a
little bit.
Have a
you don't bounce
streak.
Back from 0-4, I don't think.
Not win the division.
I don't think you do that.
I think.
Can you name the Colts offensive coordinator?
Shane Steichen is basically their offensive
coordinator.
The plays, he calls
but,
the plays.
But who's the guy? Who has that title?
Jeff Saturday.
Jim Bob Cooter.
Jim Bob Cooter.
I love this guy.
Yeah, I remember him.
Jim
He's done a
Bob
decent
Cooter.
Job, actually, historically in the NFL.
Has he? I know nothing about him other than that his name is Jim Bob Cooter. Wait a second. You have a historical perspective on Jim Bob Cooter?
On Jim
Cooter?
Bob Cooter?
Where else has he been and how's
much.
He done?
Well, let me give you some historical
accuracy. No, you don't get
here.
To look it up. You just said it out loud. You ripped me yesterday for my Steeler mistake.
Oh, he's only 40 years old. I was thinking of, I must have been thinking
you
of
were
a different
thinking
the, Jim Bob.
Yeah, the other Jim Bob Cooter. Yeah. I think you were thinking of Gus Bradley is the defensive coordinator there. And as the one and only Brian Bacco pointed out, Arthur Smith carved him up last year. Did you know that? Arthur Smith, as Bacco says, put him in a blender. Gus Bradley.
Yeah, this is what I was thinking. This is why I know the name. He was the pass game coordinator with the Jaguars in 2022, and they had that big year with Trevor Lawrence.
It doesn't matter. Arthur Smith put him in a blender last year, says Batko, talking about Gus Bradley, the Colts defensive coordinator. The Falcons had 406 yards with Taylor Heinicke at quarterback.
How about that?
I think that's rather instructive here and pertinent, don't you?
Pretty much.
I like this matchup. You know what? I'm going Steelers. I'm sticking with that. Steelers in a blowout. 27-13.
I had 28-14. And I keep predicting like 14 points for the other team, whatever, when the Steelers are only giving up about 10 a game.
Right.
So maybe they'll only score 10. Should I go 28-10?
I think you should. And I'm very proud of you for that.